The Broken Twig Podcast with your hosts, Nobes and Hursty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the Broken Twig Podcast. This one, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, some news around the league, some ideas that we would like to propose. So, yeah, get ready for it. And also, everyone, remember to follow us on Instagram at Broken Twig Podcast and on Twitter at The Broken Twig. Post a lot of stuff there. It's a good follow. So, yeah, remember to check us out. And also, everybody, remember to rate us on wherever you are listening, because it helps us a lot when you do it. Even if you have a bad rating, just tell us how you think we can improve. Like, say, one star. Like, the podcast is good, but blah, 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 blah. And then they'll be fine. We'll read it and try and fix what you say. So, yeah, everyone remember to do that. And now I just would like to check in with Hursty. How you doing today, Hursty?
So-and-so. Been a pretty uneventful week in hockey.
Yeah. Few signings, but nothing really major. Like, nothing, really earth-shattering stuff.
Nothing crazy earth-shattering, but kind of major is that there this year there's not going to be an All-Star game or a Winter Classic.
Well, that I kind of thought. Well, actually, what I thought they might do is because they said that the season is going to start on January 1st, or what they're aiming for it to start on, is that I thought that what they're going to do is have, like, an opening night on January 1st and have the opening night be the Winter Classic. Because I actually think that that would be really cool, and so have the first game of the season be an outdoor game. Then again, that might also not be smart, because a lot of the players probably need to get ready, like, get their legs under them. So I don't even know if going on, like, not that good ice for your first game of the season is a good idea, but it would certainly be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool, but the problem is there would be probably way less fans, so the atmosphere wouldn't be as good, and it wouldn't be as exciting.
That's actually true too, because also the Winter Classic, normally they get like a lot more fans and stuff, because it's normally in a football stadium, so those can fit a lot more people and always sells out and stuff. So it's normally a really good source of revenue for the league. So that actually is a pretty good point there, Hursty, that if they have it like on January 1st, they'll probably only be able to have like 5,000 fans or something maximum, which would be a really big blow in terms of attendance. So it might actually be a good idea to postpone it like they said that they're going to do and wait until like March or April or sometime when they'll be able to put more fans in the building. And also it's in Minnesota too, so even if it's a bit later, it'll still be cold enough there to have an outdoor game. So I actually, now that I think about it, it's probably a pretty smart move by the NHL to postpone it.
Yeah.
Well, something else too that this episode will probably be named after, but a really big talking point, is that the All-Star game is canceled. And a lot of people are wondering what the NHL should do about the All-Star game, because there's been a lot of suggestions thrown around, because it's just by watching it, it's very clear that the All-Star game needs a complete restructuring, because right now it's just really boring, like a lot of players opt out and stuff. So there needs to be some ideas of what to do to fix it.
Well, yeah, you need to make it more exciting for the fans, but you can't really do that when it's not happening whatsoever.
Well, yeah, but also, like, I think that this might be good, though, because they'll take a year, like, decide that next year there's going to be the Olympics, too, so they never have an All-Star game when it's Olympics. So it'll give them 2 years to rework it and think of some new ideas. But really, I think that they should keep the skills competition, because the skills competition, I really like, and I really think that that's the main draw for a lot of people, because people really like it, especially like the kids. They really like the skills competition when they get to see like fastest skater. But my one suggestion would be is that for the skills competition, they should make it be like the NBA, where anyone can participate, because I find it kind of unfair that there's players like Andreas Athanasiou and Kasperi Kapanen that, although they're really fast, but they're more one-dimensional players, or players that aren't necessarily going to be voted into an All-Star game, but they're still really fast. And I actually would really like to see some of those players go against like Connor McDavid or Matthew Barzell or Nathan MacKinnon in the fastest skater, just to see who can win it.
Yeah, but that's not just the problem. Another problem is it's less skilled when you do it by division, where there has to be a player on each team and there's a cap for players on a certain team. It's stupid. Get the best players on in the All-Star game. Not it doesn't matter, like, oh, here's the participation prize for one player on your team. Freaking Todd Bertuzzi was in the All-Star game. Leo Komarov was in the All-Star game. Those guys should never be in an All-Star game in a million years. Maybe an
Yeah.
AHL All-Star game.
Jimmy Howard was in the All-Star game too. And I'm just gonna quickly search up his stats for that season. That was last year, right? Then he was in the All-Star game. Hold on, just bear with me for a second here. And it's gonna. Yeah. He that season he had a 909 save percentage and a 3.07 goals against average, which isn't bad on the Red Wings because the Red Wings are really bad that year. Like, still, it's the All-Star game. And I also find it kind of unfair that there's some players that didn't get voted in just because there's a bunch of other good players on their team. They had to make room for some other like players too. So then a lot of the time there's ends up being players that really don't deserve to be there in the All-Star game, which, yeah. Too, but the skills competition I like.
Yeah, like William Nylander, this is just an example because the Leafs hit the cap for amount of players to go to the All-Star game. William Nylander is better than Todd Bertuzzi, and I don't think there's even close to an argument there for that. And I'm not saying only William Nylander because I think this, but I don't know the other players that, like, all the players and all the teams that made the All-Star game and who still could have gotten. So, like, I'm saying like this, was Mitch
Oh
Marner
yeah,
at the All-Star game?
I'm pretty sure that either Steven Stamkos or Braden Point, pretty sure that one of them didn't get to go, which I think is really unfair too. But it's also because a lot of players they just end up rejecting it, like especially the older players, which really waters it down. Because first of all, they have to have one player from every team, so it means that in the first place, there's going to be a bunch of players that don't deserve to be there. Then also a bunch of the players are going to just say no and not even go and have like. And all of a sudden have like pain in their arm or something so that they can't go. So, but that's why I've seen a few interesting suggestions because The Athletic, they had an article about it and what they should do and stuff. And there's a few people in the comments suggesting some alternatives. And a really popular one that I saw was that they should turn the All-Star game and make it be U25 only, which I actually think would be a really good idea. Because a lot of the time it's the older players that want the rest and are like need the rest, want to rest up a bit, like get away from it. But normally it's the younger players where it's their first few times at the All-Star game who like it better and want to soak it all in and stuff. So I actually don't really mind the idea of a U25 thing. And like, what do you think of that, Hirsty?
Now, here's my problem with that. What happens to all the players older than 25 that haven't got to go to an All-Star game yet, and they really want to go, and this is their career is ending soon, and they can't go because this new stupid U25 rule. That's why you can't do it, because there's going to be problems like that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not really sure. Like now the All-Star game, it's like in some like in the NBA, for example, a lot of the time they use like All-Star games as like a thing. Like, for example, if a player is like a 15-time All-Star, it means that he's like amazing and stuff. In the NHL, I really don't think it's like that as much, especially for older players. Like for younger players, I guess because they're closer to being kid, they remember like what it was like watching it as a kid. But it's, like if someone's like 30 years old, I really don't think that they'll have much of a appeal, and they'd rather just take the weekend off and get some rest, like hang out with their family and stuff. So yeah,
But that's not all players, though.
that is true. But it's just the All-Star game, like it clearly needs a rework. But actually, this was something else. It was on the same article that I was talking about. It was one of the comments that I was referencing. It is reading the comments. I think maybe a Young Guns tournament and skills competition would be better than canceling the All-Star weekend entirely. Maybe play the game with modified rules. No offside, no icing, just keep skating and making on-the-fly changes and play four skaters per side. High quality shinny would be entertaining, I think. That's from Bending C. Or do you thought what are...
It would be very entertaining, that's for sure. A bunch of young guys, not just young guys, but a bunch of guys playing. Well, yeah, young guys, but a bunch of guys just playing shinny, really high paced, like fast paced, high scoring, fun to watch. Like, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I really love that. And to go a step further, I'd probably also say that they should have, like, whenever the goalie covers it, because they still probably have blue lines, even if there's no offside. So whenever the goalie covers it, the other team just has to go past the blue line. The team just comes out with the puck. And the only time that there's a face-off is after a goal. So I'd probably I actually like that.
Yeah. Well, like, don't they already kind of do that where they just throw the puck in the corner?
I don't think that they, like, that's part of the rules that they do. But a lot of the time, the goalies just do it anyways just to keep the play moving. But this time, it'd be a part in the rules and stuff.
You know, I'm talking about the refs.
Do the refs do that? I'm not sure. To be honest, I didn't really watch the All-Star game that much because it's kind of boring and I kind of forget some of the rules of it. But, yeah. Well, also, something else, though, too, if they do end up doing, like, a Young Guns tournament, I actually wouldn't, like, instead of the division, they should do what they used to or what they do in the NBA now, where they draft the team, where maybe, like, there's two or four teams, and you can elect the team captain and stuff, like, you know, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, David Pastrnak as the team captains, and they each draft the team, and then they just play. That'd be like a fantasy draft type thing.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that idea. Though something else that I've heard is another idea for how to rework the All-Star game is do North America versus the world and then have it in Europe. So it's like Canada and US against everyone from Europe. And I think that I actually like that idea too.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, kind of like the World Cup.
But yeah.
Once again, there's still the issue of it's probably not going to happen because of COVID and a later season, and they don't have time to do that, so they might have to do it when the season ends.
Well, I don't mean for this season. Like, this season, I don't really think that they should have an All-Star game. Like, when they do have the All-Star game again, like, after this season and the Olympics next year, then when they have the All-Star game, like, this is what it's for. But
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like, don't you think that that would be good and stuff? And it would kind of, like, bring out the competition because on the national teams, the people always bring out the competition a lot more, like, whenever you're playing another country, because instead of just fighting for, like, your adopted city or something, you're fighting for your homeland, your country. You're trying to prove superiority over it, you know? Because, like, the thing is, for example, like, I'll give an example of a player. Like, Connor McDavid, he's from Toronto. When he was a kid, he probably didn't imagine scoring for the Edmonton Oilers to win the Cup, but he most likely did imagine scoring for Team Canada to win the Olympic gold medal. So,
yeah,
I think, or also, like, some people have been saying to switch, just go all the way, just switch permanently to have a World Cup in the middle of the season, like what they did in 2016.
That would be an interesting idea. I would love them to, that would be cool for them to bring that back.
Yeah, I like the World Cup too. I actually really liked that tournament. I know some people thought it was kind of gimmicky with Team North America and Team Europe and stuff, but I actually liked it. It was really fun and stuff, and especially when, like, I really liked when you're seeing Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews play together and stuff, and it's just, like, amazing, and they're kind of the young stars team, like Team North America was kind of the underdogs, and you're rooting for them to do well and stuff, and then in the finals when it was Team Europe against Team Canada, it was also really fun stuff, and, like, Team Europe, they're just an underdog, and they just came out of nowhere and made the finals, so I really liked it, and I was one of the people that was really excited when they announced that they're going to have the World Cup again once the new CBA came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually at a few of those World Cup games, and it was very, very intense games. It was awesome. I went to a Team North America game, And that whole game, it was just a showcase of the young guys' skills. Like, it was probably the most exciting game of hockey I've ever gone to. Well, not most exciting, but, like, fast-paced, and, like, high chances, all these chances. Maybe it was. It's probably the best. Yeah, I would say it's the best hockey, the most exciting hockey game I've ever gone to.
Well, I'd also probably give a little props to coach. I forget who it was, but I really liked what he did when he just really let the kids play. And he didn't, like, do any suffocating systems or anything. He's like, all right, you guys are fast. You know what to do. Just go out and skate around everybody, dangle everybody, do what you want. Let's try and win, which certainly
– It's not like the Olympics where if you get it, you win a gold medal. It's for fun. It's a great fun tournament.
Well, I'm sure that the winners got big bonuses and stuff, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but they probably knew they weren't going to win.
They could have. I actually thought that they had a pretty good chance to win. They had the best player in the world on their team. And they also had Matt Murray on their team, too.
Sidney Crosby was better than him in 2016. You cannot say Connor McDavid was better than Sidney Crosby in 2016.
Guess so, but they also had Matt Murray on their team, who's just coming off an amazing cup run.
Yeah, the first line of Matthews, McDavid, Scheifele.
Yeah, that was amazing. And they also had so many other good players like McKinnon.
Amazing McKinnon overtime goal, I think it was, the overtime.
Yeah, that was just like, I was so mad when Russia knocked them out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what other ideas would you have? Like, what else do you think they could do for the All-Star game?
I don't know. I think we've kind of brought up a lot of good things. Something else I would like to talk about, the Mike Hoffman saga is continuing. And three of the targets I know that are down to is Nashville, Boston, and Columbus. Is there any other teams? I think there was one more.
Yeah, I think there was. But really, it just sounds like what happened is he kind of just missed the ship. Like, there are people, they were waiting offers and stuff. And he's waited too long. And now pretty much everyone's found a replacement stuff because people were like, you know what? I'm not going to wait on you. I'm just going to get people now. They might not be as good, but then I'm just better off, like, not waiting and maybe not even getting you. So, yeah, I really don't think that that's a pretty bad move on Mike Hoffman's part. And it's what's happened before. And he'll definitely have to end up making less money than he would have gotten if he just did it right away.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you wait sometimes. People start to give up on you and then they find their own people. And I really hope he doesn't go to Boston because I don't like Boston getting better. The better Boston is, the more annoying their fans are.
That's true. It's unlike the Leafs fans. We're just annoying no matter what. Yeah. We don't need to be good to be annoying. Yeah.
Leafs, next year, this is not like totally recent. We kind of missed it last week. Well, missed it. There wasn't much about it yet, but Chris Johnson was on the Steve Dangle podcast and he talked about a possible Canadian only division next year, which would be very interesting and good, especially because of the rivalries, Leafs, Habs, Canucks, Oilers, Flames, Oilers, Flames, Canucks, Leafs, Canucks, Leafs fans, Canucks fans, dumb Oilers fans, Leafs fans, you know?
Yeah, the all Canadian division would certainly be tougher because all the Canadian teams are looking really good right now. That would be amazing, just all the rivalries and stuff.
Yeah, and the Leafs would probably finish on top of the division. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I would love the all Canadian division. That's just like every Canadian fan's dream. Leafs, they go to the Ottawa, play the Senators, and they go to Montreal, play the Habs for a few games, and then they're back and then they're back at home playing Vancouver. That'd just be awesome. But it would certainly be bad news for Ottawa, I'd say, because Ottawa looks like they're on the upswing. They're probably looking this year to compete for a playoff spot. Like, they know they most likely won't get it, but at least be in the conversation. But it'd be a lot harder now because I really can't think of another Canadian team that is worse right now than Ottawa, and would really, and I, and like I think would be able to fall behind Ottawa this season. So yeah.
For me, I see like the Leafs and are a bit ahead. Same with the Jets, and then it's like Canucks, Flames, Oilers, and Habs are all really close together now. Maybe Canucks a bit ahead, but I see those four teams really close together. Leafs and Winnipeg on the top, and then little itty bitty Ottawa with their new additions just sitting on the bottom, chilling at the bottom of the pool, doing nothing because they're Ottawa.
Yeah, they are on Winnipeg though.
Getting a high pick.
No, I think I'm actually convinced that Edmonton could be better than Winnipeg right now. Just the only thing that I'm worried about with Edmonton is their goaltending. I was really disappointed in Ken Holland when he went out and got Mike Smith. Like, I can't believe that he couldn't find someone better than Mike Smith, especially because, like, the amount that he gave Mike Smith to, $2 million.
Oh, come on. You're a Leafs fan. You're happy he did that. Now the Oilers are going to be worse.
I know, but I'm just saying that I don't really see it. There's so many good goalies on the market and even trades too, because this year really is the time to trade for a goalie because there's so many in free agency. So their price would be a lot cheaper because it's like, oh, well, you want me to give up this for this goalie? Oh, well, this guy is still available in free agency, and I think he's just as good, and I can get him for free. So why would I give you that? And it really gives you the negotiating power with the other team.
Yeah. Well, also, I think their defense has gotten much worse. Their best player at each position cannot play defense. So...
No. Darnell Nurse can play defense.
Tyson Berry's better than Darnell Nurse.
That is not true. That is not true.
If Tyson Berry scores 50 points, he is better than Darnell Nurse.
That is not a true statement at all. Darnell Nurse is really good. Okay. He doesn't get the most points. He's more of like a 30 to like a 40 point defenseman, but he's really good two way. He's really big too, although I don't think that should matter as much as it does, but he's 6'4", 220, so he can lay the body. He doesn't really play power play, but he's still a really good penalty killer and stuff. I'd probably say that he's better than Tyson Berry.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
But Tyson Berry is – you're taking from his stupid this season where he didn't get as much points, that he's not as good. Remember, when on the Avalanche, he put up 60 points almost. So
yeah, I know. I guess that is true, but I'd probably still put Nurse ahead of him.
Okay, well, I do not agree with that because I think you're overestimating how good Nurse is defensively. Look at this. Like He's not very great. Just saying. Hey, he's not very great defensively. He gets a bit of points. But overall, I wouldn't say he's that amazing.
All right. I guess you're allowed to have your own opinion.
Here, I'm pulling up a chart for it.
Oh, yeah. Now the views chart, yeah, you're right. His defense isn't really that good. He's also really not good on penalty kill or power. Yeah, he is. Now that I pull up this chart, yeah, he's not that good. But also, another really big blow for them, in my opinion, is Oscar Klefbom likely going to miss the entire season. Last year, he was their second-best defenseman. He played over 25 minutes a night. And he was also their power play quarterback, too. So it's also a really devastating blow for them. But I think that Tyson Berry is there to alleviate the pain a bit and take over some of his responsibilities defensively and on the power play. But yeah, I still...
Defensively what? Turning the puck over in front of his own net?
Okay, Tyson Berry isn't that bad, but also yes, a big...
Tyson Berry is that bad.
Also something else too. is that Evan Bouchard and Philip Broberg are both expected to make really big leaps and are expected to play on their team next year, too. So that should also be good, too, because Evan Bouchard, he was drafted 10th overall in 2018. He is now 21 years old. He's been pretty good he played in the AHL last year. He's been pretty good in the OHL, and he's playing in Sweden so far, and he's been okay. But really my main concern with that is that in Sweden, he isn't even playing in the top league. He's playing in the Allsvenskan, which is the second league, and he hasn't really been dominating like he should be because it's not the top league, which is a tiny bit concerning to me.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Their defense isn't going to be that strong this year, as their best forwards are not good defensively, and Tyson Barrie's not good defensively, and great defensively. So, and their goalie isn't good. They're going to struggle this year. I honestly think there's a chance that the Habs finish ahead of them.
There is a chance, but I don't really think that is. And I think that you're forgetting about Ethan Bear, though. I really liked Ethan Bear last year, and he's a RFA this year. He still hasn't been signed, but I like him, and I think that he also is going to take a pretty big step and get better.
Yeah, like right now. Notable Erik Karlsson of the future, Ethan Bear. Jesus Christ. He could be good in the future. There's no way he's going to be good enough to save their defense. It's all about depth next year, and goaltending is very important. Having a good goaltending tandem and someone who could play a lot of games. Yeah, 38-year-old Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen isn't going to do that for you. Goaltending is the most important thing this year, and Edmonton does not have it, and the Habs have a lot of it.
Hey, well, this is looking to me their top six for next year. Darnell Nurse, Tyson Barrie, Ethan Bear, Adam Larson, Chris Russell, Caleb Jones, and then with Evan Bouchard as the seventh D and subbing in a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Think
none of those guys are above average defensively, I would say. That's pretty bad. Actually, maybe Darnell Nurse is a bit above average defensively, but no one there is good defensively. Compared to the Leafs decor of this year, like last year, they don't have Jake Muzzin to play defense for them.
Yeah, that's true. And then also another team though that we like the what was I gonna say again? God.
Well, anyways, I'll continue saying how I don't think like Montreal. They, as much as I don't like to say it, I think their goalies are going to be really good next year with Allen and Price together. Because yeah.
Well, also though, I also think that we should also watch out for the Flames too. The Flames, I really liked what they've done this offseason. They solved what, in my opinion, was their main issue, that they got a solid number one that they can depend on for a long period of time. They got Jacob Markstrom, and losing TJ Brody is a pretty big blow, but they did get Chris Tanev back, who I don't think will be horrible. And their offense, it looks really good as usual. They have Milan Lucic, they have Derek Ryan, they have Joachim Nordstrom, Zach Rinaldo. Like, it looks like a really good forward core.
Well, here's what you're underestimating. Yes, they fixed their big hole, which is goaltending. They swapped Tanev with TJ Brody. Tanev's a bit worse.
I'd say a bit more than a bit, but he's...
And then by Hamonic, by Gustafsson, Giordano's another year older. Is this team really gotten better? Because I don't think so. I think they're very similar. They're better goaltending, but they're much worse on defense. And I still don't believe in that forward core of Goudreau and Monahan. I don't believe in those guys. Because if Goudreau and Monahan are going to have another subpar year, what the hell are they going to do? I've said it before. Calgary's trapped in this little bubble where they're never going to go deep, and they're not going to suck enough to get a high pick. And it seems like they want to stay in that bubble of sucking.
I'm not really sure how much I agree with you on that. I think that they're pretty good. I like their team for next year. And their defensemen, they still have Oliver Shillington unsigned. I think that he's signed with pretty high upside. Mark Giordano, I think that he's still got it too. Noah Hanifin, He's kind of underrated. He's pretty good. Chris Tanev, not really that good anymore, but he can still like contribute. And also some other news that they recently signed Nikita Nesterov in the KHL. They drafted him all the way back in 2011. He's been playing in the KHL ever since. He actually had a brief stint in the NHL with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he played 13 games with the Habs too. But he's no Mika Lehtinen, but he looks okay. Probably projects to be a bit of a Nikita Zaitsev type import from Russia, where nothing really amazing, more of like a sixth or seventh defenseman, but still fine. So, yeah.
Well, here's why we'll get past this and we'll go to Winnipeg. And here's why I think they're going to do better than all those other teams. First reason, Connor Hellebuck. That's the main reason, Connor Hellebuck. He's the best goalie in the world. So, actually,
I think that I'm of the idea that goaltending is voodoo. I think that Connor Hellebuck, he could be good enough to save a lot of shots, but their defense is, like, I don't think that they improved their defense that much this year. And still, they're, like, I'm looking through it. They're really healthy.
They have Morrissey, Pionk, DeMello. Who's the other guy they have?
They do have Billy Hanola, but he's still really young. And he's the
young up-and-coming guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready for big minutes. He's only 19. And then everyone else, they have Lucas Spezza, Tucker Poolman, Derek Forbort, Nathan Beaulieu. I just don't think that their defense is good enough.
It might not be that good, but they have Connor Hellebuck, and he's the best defenseman in the world. So,
defenseman?
Yeah, goalie, that's like, in overall, I'm saying like a goalies and defenseman, he's going to do the most. Like, yes, they did, but they also fixed their forwards. Laine and Ehlers weren't as good this year, but they were dominant 2 years ago and they played with Stastny. And look who's back, Stastny. So that's a very killer top six. Wheeler, Scheifele, Connor, Laine, Ehlers, Stastny.
It is really good. They also have some good depth pieces like Adam Lowry, Andrew Kopp, Matthew Perreault, like Kristen Veselainen, and Jack Roslovic. He's a prospect. He played a bit last year. So, yeah, I agree with you. I do think that Winnipeg should be pretty good, and they do have some young players that I expect to get better and most likely be good next year. And a lot of their, like, stars are still young. But as long as they don't trade Laine.
Yeah, do not trade Laine. I wonder if we see some, like, a Justin Hall to Winnipeg.
I don't really know. I think that Winnipeg, they already have a lot of Justin Hall type players, like players that are more of bottom pairing, but can play in their top four if they're playing with a better player. So I don't really know if they need Justin Hall, you know.
I guess. Well, let's go to Vancouver, who was probably the best Canadian team this year, had the biggest impact, but they lost a lot of pieces. Yes, they got Nate Schmidt. Yes, they got Braden Holtby, who, in my opinion, is not very good. But do Nate Schmidt and Braden Holtby equal Markstrom, Tanev, Toffoli, and Stetcher? Not even close.
Yeah.
They got worse. They got a lot worse. They still have all those shit contracts on their third, fourth line, even second line now. And if Besser plays underwhelming again, there's a chance they don't make the playoffs. So, I don't believe in Holtby, and I also don't believe Demko is as good as people are saying. I've seen him play before. He's average. Goalies sometimes get hot in the playoffs. Michael Hutchison did it. People do it all the time where they get hot for a bit of time and then they're not good. They're not bad, but they're not good. And that's what I think Demko is. I think DiPietro in a few years will solve that. But right now, they've got a pretty big hole at most positions.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with what you said, but they really have way too many bad contracts at depth positions. Because I'd much rather have the Leafs cap situation where you're playing your, where you're paying your star players maybe a bit more than they should be making, than the Canucks situation where they're just paying all their depth players like $3 million stuff. Like even Jake Virtanen, who just signed with them for $2.25 million, he's not worth it. Judging by his advanced stats and his analytics, he's a fourth liner. The team is way too high.
William McKayev last year?
What?
I would say no.
No, no way that Jake Virtanen was better than Ilya McKayev.
I hate Jake Virtanen. The ones I've heard from don't like him. So what's going to happen there? No clue. Maybe they just keep signing bad contracts. And they might, they're going to run into some trouble with Pettersson, Hughes, and Besser, all RFAs next year, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe Pettersson and Hughes.
Pettersson is an RFA next year.
Hughes is an RFA, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm checking.
And I'm fairly
certain. No, Besser has one more year after next year. But Hughes is. But also, another same with Olli Juhlevi, who a lot of people think will have a good year. But the thing is, some of their bad contracts are ending after that year, too. So, like, Brandon Sutter is up after next year. Tanner Pearson is up. Sven Berchi is up. Let's see, who else? Yeah, I think that's all of the bad. Oh, Jordy Benn, too. He's making $2 million. So they do have a lot of their bad contracts that are ending there, which should give them some more breathing room.
Does it give them the 15 to 20 million to sign Pettersson and Hughes? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. They're going to have to make some moves because they still have the Tyler Myers contract, which I think is going to be really bad. They'll still have the Louis Erickson contract, still have Michael Ferland under contract for way too much. They'll still have a bunch of, they'll still have Antoine Roussel for way too much. So they'll still have some bad contracts.
Yeah, well, let's continue talking about this year. So Vancouver, yikes in my book. Edmonton's a yikes. Habs, what? Why does everyone think they've become Stanley Cup contenders all of a sudden? They didn't make any really good moves. The Allen move was probably their best move, in my opinion. No, never mind. Toffoli. I forgot.
Yeah, Toffoli.
Toffoli was a good move. Allen was a solid move. And the rest of the moves, questionable for me. Because Joel Edmondson, he was the 6'7" defenseman on Carolina. What makes you think at $3 million or whatever, he's going to be so good?
Josh Anderson, there's a few moves. Josh Anderson.
Max Domi. And Josh Anderson isn't worth $5.5 million. He's not
that
worth.
That looks like a really bad deal.
It looks like the David Clarkson contract. Didn't David Clarkson come from Columbus originally?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he went Columbus, New Jersey, Toronto, I think. So, yeah. He definitely looks like he's going to be David Clarkson 2.0 with the injuries. And the huge cap hit, he's supposed to be
for long term too, 7 years.
Yeah, he had a season a few years ago where he put up a lot of goals. So Montreal, although they have improved, I think, but they've made some questionable moves. They'll be better, but how much better? Is Josh Anderson going to score 40 goals? No. Will Toffoli score 40 goals? No. Will either of those guys even score 30 goals? No,
I think Toffoli will. Toffoli, he's the type of player that's always been good. He just really needs to work on his finishing ability. But once he does, then he'll be able to score a lot. Like, it really seems like he's had some bad luck and needs better shot and stuff. But, some of their moves are a bit questionable, but I still like their team, too. Like, Allen Price, while it may be pricey, it's still a pretty good tandem. Then their defense, they still have their top three of Petrie, Weber, Chiarot, and then Romanov. He's coming over. He's been really hyped up and stuff. Not sure if he's going to live up to it, but I still think he'll be really good. They still have, like, Fleury, Kulak, Mete, so Noah Juulsen, too. So, yeah, then on offense, they still have some players like Nick Suzuki. He'll continue to get better. So yeah, their team does look to be pretty good, but they have made some questionable moves.
So here's why, and then everyone knows what the Leafs did, and here's why I think the Leafs are going to finish ahead of Winnipeg is because of depth. They have much more depth at every position than Winnipeg, and they're probably like, if Winnipeg, there's a few players, one injury, that team is fucked. If Hellebuck gets hurt, they're fucked. If Anderson gets hurt, the Leafs are not fucked because we have Campbell and Dell. Campbell, 928 with the 18-19 LA Kings. He is capable enough of being a starter.
To be honest, Campbell, Dell, it's not a rotation I'd probably want to start the season with, but it's not a bad one. It's not one where I'd be scrambling really hard to get a starter. Like, if there's one available, I definitely would try to get one. But it's not one where it's like, oh, like, we need a starting goalie or else we're going to suck. So, yeah.
And so if Hellebuck gets injured, I think that team is screwed. Mm-hmm. If Morrissey or Pionk, if one of those guys gets hurt, they're in deep shit. And that's basically it, because they have some good forwards, but they would be in a lot of trouble if Kyle Connor got injured too. Like, the Leafs would be also in a lot of trouble if Austin Matthews got hurt.
But the thing is, though, the Leafs, like, they've had injuries and survived. Austin Matthews last year was his first full season since his rookie season. It's like, let's say, for example, Mitch Marner, he gets injured. They still have some really good players. They'll still have Nylander. Maybe Robertson could step up. Thornton, like, they have some Kerfoot too. Maybe even BC. So they have some players in their bottom six and stuff that could step up if one of their stars gets injured. Even Austin Matthews, their best player. If he gets injured, John Tavares, he'll be in their first line center. They still have Joe Thornton, Alex Kerfoot. So they'll still have players there. Like William Nylander, he even played center a tiny bit. I don't think he should be a center, but he can if they really, really need it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing for this year is depth. And a lot of these teams don't have depth. Habs do not have a lot of depth. Oilers do not have a lot of depth. Canucks no longer have a lot of depth. Flames,
Dad.
They have some depth, but those guys are going to need to step up into bigger roles because one of their problems is their top six. They've got a good first line, but their second line's kind of weak.
Yeah, they have Goudreau, Monahan, Lindholm. Yeah, that's true. They probably could use someone else for their top. Because they have Monahan, Goudreau, Lindholm, and then they also have Tkachuk, Backlund. I'm not really sold on that. And then, they need another top-line winger, I'd say. So, yeah, Mike Hoffman, I think he'd be really good for them.
Do they have the cap space for him? I don't know if they do.
Mm.
They might, but I don't think he's one of their options. Though. Anyways, a lot of these teams, not much depth. Very worrisome for them.
Yeah. Oh,
not
yeah. The I'm Flames. Not
worried at all. I really like what Dubas has done. And I think that kind of leads into our next topic.
Well, yeah, the Flames, they have 1.8 million in cap space. So, yeah, not really that.
I can't afford my coffee. So, yeah, let's go. Our next topic, which is Kyle Dubas being a wizard, signing Ilya Mikheyev and Travis Dermott to a combined, 2.4 million or something it's around that. And we thought that it was going to be more than that because we thought Mikheyev was going to get possibly up to 2 million a year. And we thought Dermott was going to get at least 1 million. Well, Dermott took a pay cut, a prove me deal. And I'm really happy because he's my favorite player, but he took a prove me deal, prove it deal. You weren't as great last year. You had your most points, but you kind of were – you had surgery. You're injured. You know what? You played a lot of games with Tyson Barrie. Sucks defensively. Kind of brings you down. now you're playing with Mikko Lehtinen. Well, probably. You're probably going to play with Mikko Lehtinen. He got a lot of points in the KHL. He's their best defenseman. Let's see what you can do. If you do well, we'll pay you. If you do bad, bye-bye. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I also think it's good because players, they realize that if they, like, if they get more, if they take less money, they'll be more likely to play. Because if someone's making, like, $2 million, and then there's someone else that's basically just as good that's making $1 million, you'd want to call up the $1 million person more, especially for a team like the Leafs that's tight against the cap, too. So, yeah, and it's like the thing, well, if you play your top players more, then that means that your bottom six players, they're going to have to take a bit less. But they know, and it's kind of, I also like that's become kind of like a selling point, that it's like players want to take less just to play with this team because they think that this team can win the cup. That's something that I really like.
Yeah. It's it's definitely a good thing when one of the longest tenured players and a good veteran says, I believe this team can win the cup. That's good.
It is. That's true. I like
the last time that was said, and then it actually happened. Happened with Ray Bourque. But he was better than Joe Thornton. He went to an already really stacked team.
Okay, well, I just have a question though. I don't get why the Leafs never tried this doing what the Penguins do, where they spread out the lines or play like they're like, I don't get why they've never tried just put Austin Matthews with like Ilya Mikheyev and Zach Hyman. Like, I don't get why they wouldn't just put Ilya Mikheyev, Joe Thornton up with Matthews and see what happens. I think Matthews is good enough to carry his own line. Why?
Because Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Zach Hyman is already an insane line. They have incredible chemistry. So there's no, if the machine ain't broke, don't fix it. You can maybe try it out in camp, in training camp, if it even happens. But there's no need to split up Matthews, Marner, Hyman because they dominate most games.
I'm not really sure. Like, what about these lines? Like, okay, so Austin Matthews.
Hey, excuse me. Before you say anything, I'm opposed to doing whatever you say. I'm opposed to doing it for more than 10 games, most likely. Because I don't want the Matthews line to be changed. Okay, continue.
Austin Matthews, Joe Thornton, Ilya Mikheyev, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Nick Robertson, and then third line, Alex Kerfoot, William Nylander, Jimmy Vesey, and then fourth line have Spezza and then like Engvall and Nick Patan, whoever else is available.
What's the second line again?
Nick Robertson, John Tavares, Mitch Marner. Wait, I forgot about Hyman. Hyman can play on the third line with Nylander and Kerfoot. Just have like three really good lines with top players and the fourth line, like whatever. And then Spezza can play like on the power play.
I'm sorry, I'm very opposed to putting Joe Thornton on the first line. And I really don't think that's the right choice. And I don't know if Matthews and Mikheyev and Thornton will have any chemistry. And we don't know how amazing Mikheyev is, but it's a much, much better to just stay with Matthews, Marner, because those guys have really good chemistry. Same with Hyman. They have great chemistry together.
Marner also has really good chemistry with Tavares.
Yeah, but John Tavares didn't do a spinorama perfect one-timer to score to Mitch Marner.
Okay, but like, I know. I just feel like, why not try it? Teams have been doing it for so long. That's what the Oilers do. Like, if you have a really good player, you should take advantage of it by knowing that by having a really good player, you don't need to have a bunch of other really good players with them. If you just have a bunch of OK players with them, they can still be really good.
Sure, you can try it in camp, but I wouldn't try it for an extended period of time in the season. Like I said before, it could cost the Leafs games because they
don't think so.
Great lines.
Well, I don't think so.
The biggest problem at the end of the year and in the playoffs was that the Leafs were getting jack shit from their third and fourth line, and now they've improved those
lines. Exactly. Their third and fourth line. So why not adding more depth than having a third line of
Nylander? Because then you're screwing up. They're screwing with the top two lines that have already been amazing. You don't need to change it.
It'll still be amazing. Like
the third line.
Hey, I have a question for you. Do you think Austin Matthews is a top 10 player in the league?
Yeah, no question.
Exactly. And top 10 players in the league should be able to carry their own lines. They shouldn't have to rely on Mitch Marner and Zach Hyman to be good. They should be good by themselves.
He's not. He's not relying on them. But they're an important part to that line. Zach Hyman, they all bring a different piece to the game. Mitch Marner brings that elite skating, elite playmaking ability. Zach Hyman brings the grittiness, the pushing, the beating, the pushing the guys out of the way, winning the corner battles, in front of the net, tipping, screening. And Austin Matthews brings the absolute bullet shot and the clutchness. It fits together perfectly. I think it's much better to fix it by improving the third and fourth line with outside depth pieces, which they did. And they need Pierre Engvall to step and Alexander Kerfoot to step their asses up. I want to see
Pierre Engvall still on the team.
I want to see how a Kerfoot, Barabanov, and maybe try with Simmons. See how that works out. Because if that line starts to click, great, you're golden. It's awesome. You fixed the problem. And then you have a fourth line of Joe Thornton and Jason Spezza rotating with the guys they have. Who would play on the fourth line?
They have like Pierre Engvall, Nick Patan, Jimmy Vesey, Travis Boyd, Joey Anderson. So yeah, they have some players.
I would see it Vesey, Joey Anderson. Vesey, Joey Anderson, Nick Robertson, and
Jason Spezza. I don't think Robertson will play fourth line, but.
Well, then where do you play him?
You either play him third line in your top six or send him back to the OHL. He doesn't need a play.
I feel like he's probably going to play another year in the
OHL. But because I don't really see the point of playing him 8 minutes a game in the NHL when he could be getting a lot more playing time in the OHL or something. So I think like Nick Robertson, I'd really love for him to be on the team, but I don't want him to be on the team and just – because it almost never works out whenever you do that, where you just have a top young player that's just playing like 8 minutes, and that never works out.
A guy that Columbus picked, I think his name was Adam something. He was supposed to be amazing. They played him like no minutes, and then he was just shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like the players, they need to gain they need to gain confidence. They need to get those reps and to know what to do and know it in certain situations. That's it, yeah.
Well, it's interesting to see. Maybe you try him on the third line in training camp with Kerfoot and
like either BC Thornton. Oh yeah, Pierre Barabanov. I forgot about him. He's also really Simmons too. So
I think Dubas. I think he's very confident in Alexander Barabanov, and I definitely think he's gonna play him.
Yeah, he definitely
why
will.
Why would you sign him if you're not gonna play him? And he seems to like him a lot. So
yeah, he definitely will play Barabanov, but it just depends on how good he is. And I'm not like Mikko Lennon. He's just been really good. Everyone knows he's really good. So I'm a lot more sold on Mikko Lennon being a really good NHLer than Alexander Barabanov.
Yeah, but Alexander Barabanov doesn't need to be amazing. He needs to be a good third liner. Good put up.
Fourth liner. Fourth liner, if he's good enough to be a third liner, great, but you should not be depending on him being a third liner.
Okay, well, I think if he can be even 80% of what Ilya Mikheyev is, he'll be a fine third liner. Or 80% of what Mikheyev was in the start of last season, but I feel like Barabanov's more gifted offensively. Ilya Mikheyev has a good two-way game, and I feel like Barabanov's got a better shot, more of a goal scorer.
All right. I don't know. To be honest, I haven't really seen much of Barabanov highlights, but yeah, I guess
Yeah, neither have I. But
no, I don't really know like much about him, but he looks like he could be really good. So yeah, I do kind of like, but I just don't think that you should like depend on him too much, because I'm not really that convinced about him. And he could, and I think that it's more likely that he's an AHLer than a second liner.
There's no way they play who Bear Banoff.
Yeah, Bear Banoff.
There's no way they play him in the AHL. If they play him in the AHL, he's gonna be bye. I'm going back to Russia.
Well, I'm talking about if he's like not off the bat, but if he's bad. Like, I think it's a lot more likely that he's bad right away and just goes to AHL, and then he's amazing and gets bumped up to the top six.
Yeah, I guess. But I think he'll be on the third line. And I think he'll be a good third liner for us.
All right. Okay, what and about...
Also, Mikko Lehtonen continuing to get better. He now has 8 goals, 8 assists, and 16 points in 14 games.
You just love to see it.
Well, we already kind of knew how good he was, but... It's great to see him.
Well, actually, no.
Still being really good.
You know, I'm actually really like this, because the thing was, I also wasn't entirely sold on him being amazing, because his season last year kind of came out of nowhere. This is his first season where he just exploded and absolutely dominated his league. So I actually really liked it. So it shows that it wasn't just a one-time fluke, and that it's who he really is.
Yeah. Jeez, Marcus Granlund is tearing up there. In the KHL, he's 10th in points for all players. He's the top, obviously the first D-man. The people ahead of him, first has played 19. Datsyuk is second. He played 18.
Yeah, Pavel Datsyuk tearing it up.
Fourth played 15. Fifth also 14. 12th, Marcus Granlund, 17 points in 12 games. And 7th has played 20, 8th has played 15th, and then 9th has played 14th. So, like, 6 yeah. guys ahead of him have played more games, and 4 guys ahead of him have played 4 or more games.
All right, so, let's see. What about, like, points per game? I'll just tell you points per game. In terms of points per game,
Mikko Lehtonen is 4th. He has 1.143. Right ahead of him, the guy has 1.124, someone with 1.14, 1.417, 1.286, 1.267, and everyone
out of people that have actually played like a bunch of games, right now on my I have him at 6th. But yeah, that's really good, especially for a defenseman.
Maybe there's people below him that have better points per game. Not that I see.
He's been doing so well. There's Ryan Spooner too, who has
At 5th. He's behind Timu Harkkinen, Vadim Shipyachov, Brian O'Neill, and Yuri Laterra. And keep in mind, those guys are all 30 and above.
Actually, Yuri Laterra has the exact same amount of points per game, yeah. But I actually, you missed Marcus Granlund. He also has
it's minimum 14 games played for this.
Yeah, I think that's why. So, that's true. He has been doing really good. And also, something that I would like to talk about is that the internal competition within the Leafs is I really like it, because the Leafs, it'll really bring out the best in their players. Because I think that it really shows, like, for example, I'll just give this as an example. Like, it's not who he actually is. I'm not saying anything, but let's say Travis Dermott. Let's say he's not really trying hard. He's been playing really badly. Well, I'm just giving an example. Fine.
You had to pick Dermott.
Fine. Mikko Lehtonen. Let's say Mikko Lehtonen isn't trying hard. He's not playing well. Well, then Sheldon Keefe can just be like, all right, you're not going to try hard. I have this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. They're all ready to go. They're all NHL players, and they're all very, very happy to play in your position. So if you're not going to try hard, then you can go back. Then you can either go to the Marlies or go to another team. And that's really good, because it always will bring out the best in a player, and it can really bring players to their full potential with it happening, you know? And it'll also create a really interesting camp battle because all of those defenders, like Justin Hall, Zach Bogosian, Mikko Lennon, Rasmus Sandin, Travis Dermott, Timothy Liljegren, they're all going to be trying as hard as they can in training camp just to be able to make the team. And especially like during the season, they're going to have to always be on their game if they want to stick with the Leafs. So that'll be really good because that can mean that their bottom pair of the Leafs can be amazing.
Yeah,
and that's,
well, that's really nice to see,
because that's especially like it's, you should, for any of your depth guys, you should never promise them a spot, never show them that this is, especially for younger players, be like, okay, this is where you can play, this is where we think you'll play, but if you don't play like how you're supposed to, then this is where you'll play in the AHL, so you better make sure that you're trying your hardest. And then they'll realize, like, wow, I can play this much, but it's not going to come easy. And they'll try as hard as they can to make sure that they're playing that much. Then once they're playing that much, they'll know that if they stop playing as hard as they've been playing, then they'll go right back down to where they were before. So they'll continue playing as hard as they can just to stick with where they are. And that'll, and they'll get better and better throughout the season. And by the end, they'll be really good.
Yeah, exactly. This is the best problem to have. The problem of having too many good players. Because we should be glad like that we don't have too many bad players. Like last year when all our defense got injured. Who's going to start? Who's going to start? Is it going to be Stuart Percy, Martin Marincin, or Cody Ceci? Who?
Well, Kevin Gravel's been doing pretty good. So I think that he has a chance to step up and play for the Leafs.
And now it's, so who's going to play? Bogosian, Hall, Dermott, Lettinen? Those guys are much better than the latter. The guys are playing.
I saw a tweet from someone, I forget who it was, so I apologize for not, like, shouting them out a bit. But it was basically saying that the Leafs, they could change their lineup making the makeup depending on who they're playing. Like, for example, if they're playing a team that's more tougher, like, good on the power play and good in the penalty kill, then they'll probably play like Simmons and Bogosian. But then let's say they're playing a team that's more like the Leaf style, where it's more wide open, like fast skating, high scoring. Then they'll play like Lettinen and Spets and stuff. So I think that or like Robertson. So that's actually, it's what like an AHL type thing. And I think that Sheldon Keefe is the perfect type of coach to do that.
Yeah, and now they're stacking. Their AHL team is going to be stacked, by the way. Mm-hmm. Aaron Bell. Patan, the guy that looks like a sloth. I forget his name. Not looks like a sloth, but he looks like Sid the Sloth. I apologize. I'm not gonna say his name now because I feel bad. Yeah, him. They got VC if he plays. If he doesn't play in NHL, Joey Anderson possibly, Boyd, all these guys that can play NHL. Yeah. And they're going to be in the – Martin Marincin is not a bad AHL defenseman. Neither is
like,
Howie
he's not a bad – like, Martin Marincin, I love him as a top-pairing AHLer. What I don't love him as is an NHLer that's playing more than one every five games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've talked about the Leafs enough. I think we can finish off with some mock trades.
Well, we've already been going for a bit, but yeah.
We can look at one Leaf trade each. How about?
One trade each, all right. We're limiting ourselves, trying not to go too far because we don't want to bore any of you guys. See, look, we care about our fans. All right, we'll both find ours. Hirsty, what's yours?
I don't know. I'm looking for one of those idiots from last time.
I'll find one. Well, this guy, he's a Wild fan, so normally the Wild fans, okay, well, this one is called Please Don't Rip Me Apart, I'm Trying. It looks really good. Oh, it's for Alexander Barkov. This is looks really good. By Kaprizov Club, it's Panthers floor. So the Florida Panthers giveaway, Alexander Barkov. They get Matt Dumba, Alexander Kovanov, a 2021 third-round pick. 2022 first round pick. That is all.
Hmm. What do you think?
I think this is a bad trade. Alexander Barkov is one of the top players in the league. He's really good. Like, comparing it to, like, NHL terms, he, like, the video game, I'd say he's, like, a 91 overall, which is really good. And then you're giving up Matt Dumba, who I think is okay but overrated. But, like, to get him, you'll have to give up at least a top prospect just to get it started. Because when you're looking at a top prospect, you're thinking that their ceiling will be Alexander Barkov. So you need to give up a top prospect, plus a first-round pick, plus a quality NHLer, just to get the talk started, in my opinion. And that one they're not doing. They have the NHLer, they have Matt Dumba, they have the first, but everything else, I don't see it. Alexander Kovanov, he is not a top prospect. He's like a B-minus prospect, which is not enough to get the talk started. And the third-round pick, that's like hit or miss. So it really doesn't have that much trade value. So to get him, they probably have to give up one of their top prospects. So I don't like this trade.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, my trade, this is interesting. It's Nashville and Winnipeg. It's Laine to Nashville. It's Patrick Laine for Matthias Ekholm, Philip Tomasino, and a 2021 second. And now this is interesting. I don't think this is going to happen because I think Nashville is going to not Nashville, Winnipeg's going to keep Laine. But I kind of like this trade. I mean, Winnipeg's kind of losing it.
Yeah, I'd probably say Winnipeg loses this trade.
But they get like $3 million in cap space. They get a really good defender. They get a prospect and a pick.
Well, not bad.
But Laine is younger. He's gonna be better in two years. Like much better. Like Matthias Ekholm's on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
Laine's on the rising up. Okay. So,
well,
I think...
Okay. Hold on a second. I have a hot take for everyone. Hot take, get ready. Get the Winnipeg Jets fan. You may want to leave the room, turn off this podcast, because you're not going to like this. William Nylander is better than Patrick Laine. That's a bit of a spicy take there, right? But William Nylander is better than Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine's shot has been decreasing throughout the years. Patrick Laine has been absent on defense. Patrick Laine is overrated. William Nylander is underrated. William Nylander isn't the greatest on defense, but he's still pretty good. William Nylander has been improving year by year. That's why I think
Patrick Laine has a higher ceiling.
Oh, and William Nylander has a better shot. Well, I wouldn't say he has a better shot.
No.
Well, according to this model most people use to generate, to like see the shots, it's expected goals versus actual goals. And according to that, William Nylander has a better shot. So basically it shows that William Nylander's pucks go in when he wants them to more. Yeah, that's my spicy take of the day, that William Nylander is better than Patrick Laine.
Interesting take. You're going to get a lot of biased Leafs fans from that.
Yeah, if we had fans, they'd be very mad at us right now.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. Patrick Laine, I'm looking at a player at eval tool right now. The goals, not as good. Goals expected, not as good. Shooting percentage, not as good.
I'd actually think that Nylander is better. I think that he contributes more to your team and all the like.
But Laine with stats.
Laine is I'd say Laine is a lot more of a perimeter player than Nylander is. Nylander gets a lot of his goals near the front and end stuff. Patrick Laine, he gets a lot of his from more outside stuff. I'd probably say that I'd say William Nylander is better.
All right. Well, I think that's a good thing to end it on.
I think it is too. Everybody, remember, send your hate comments down below at the Broken Twig Podcast on Instagram and at the Broken Twig. Tell us about how dumb we are, how we're just biased Leafs fans who don't know anything about hockey and we shouldn't have a podcast. So remember to do that, and goodbye.